my hope is that as we engage with data, as we engage with the tech companies that create the data and utilize the data, that we remain relevant because we really understand how to work with the data. And I think some CPAs do, but too many of them don't.
And we're back, gang, and welcome back. We are up to, let's see, episode 90 of Future Proof, if you can believe that. I've been your host for all of them. I'm Bill Sheridan. Bots, that's the name of the game this week. Those little automated AI-powered gizmos that help you get stuff on your favorite websites. They're everywhere, and they're setting their sights on the accounting and finance world, and we're going to be talking about them with my guest this week. She is Jody Paydar. We'll get into that here in just a few minutes. First, let me start by telling you that this week's show is brought to you by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors, unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. So, bots, if you struggle to define what they are, that's okay. You're not alone there, not at all. Just take comfort in knowing that you've probably used a bot at one time or another. They've become so ubiquitous. Just like I said earlier, they're everywhere, right? And we might not even know that we're interacting with them because of that. We might not know that we're interacting with a piece of technology at all, which I guess is the point. So let's define our terms here. A bot is simply a software application that runs automated tasks over the internet. So typically these are tasks that are both simple and repetitive, which means these applications can do these things faster and more accurately than a human could, right? Probably the most well-known example are chatbots, right? If you've ever used the live chat function on a website, chances are you are interacting with a bot than rather than chatting with a live human, right? So simple, repetitive tasks. That's a bot's sweet spot. But they've been used for other stuff too, like recruiting and marketing and analytics. And it wasn't long ago that only the biggest companies with the deepest pockets could play around with this stuff, right? 2 or 3 years ago, for instance, McCormick, the spice giant, they were using robotic process automation to automate the reconciliation of their global supply chain. They had accountants doing nothing but reconciliation, and RPA helped them eliminate 38 of those jobs, and those people were then redeployed to higher-level analytics. So cute fact, by the way, McCormick called their bots Old Bay and Pepper. appropriate. Anyway, 18 months after that, just 18 months, a year and a half, a little company called BotKeeper, which they call automated bookkeeping with a human touch. BotKeeper, they're automating most general ledger systems. That's right. That's right here and right now, folks. I mean, for everyday people, even for the smallest companies, that type of technology is available. And that's how fast these technologies are moving. We've gone from only the world's biggest companies having the expertise and the money to play around with these new technologies to everyone being able to use this stuff. Exponential change, folks. Embrace it, love it, or at the very least, live with it, because it is, as they say, here to stay. And no one knows that more than my guest this week. She is Jody Paydar. She's a longtime friend of mine in the Maryland Association of CPAs. She built her Radical CPA brand as chief executive officer of New Vision CPA Group near Chicago. But then in January, the strangest, maybe the most predictable thing happened. She was named vice president of strategy for BotKeeper. And I say most predictable because Jody, she spotted the potential of bots and BotKeeper way before most other folks in the profession did. She understood the power that they offered, and that power was to free us up from doing mindless, repetitive tasks and spend more time on strategic, value-added stuff that's really going to make a difference. Jody's been working with BotKeeper for over the last 18 months, helping evolve their technology based on customer feedback. And here's what she has to say. She says, quote, BotKeeper exceeded our hopes and quickly became a partner I sought to join forces with. BotKeeper shares the same values we have for excellent service, expertise, curating a technology-driven environment, which I am excited to be a part of, and which our customers in the accounting industry as a whole will significantly benefit from, end quote. And here's what BotKeeper CEO Enrico Palmerino has to say. He says, quote, "I'm so excited to have Jody join the team. As an early cloud adopter and practice management innovator, this role will be a commitment to the accounting industry in a way most software vendors can only dream of," end quote. BotKeeper, by the way, will tell you that they develop artificial intelligence to help automate bookkeeping and broader accounting functions for accounting firms. While the company purported early on to be a robo-accounting service for accounting, whose accounting is provided solely by artificial intelligence. In fact, the company also uses offshore accountants in the Philippines to validate its AI-driven accounting services. So there's that. But I was hanging out with Jody recently at the MACPA's annual CPA Summit, to be exact. And what better time to ask her about the potential of bots to transform this profession? And that potential is huge. And so this is a conversation that you, as a future-focused accounting and finance professional, needs to be paying attention to. So settle in, friends, for a radical conversation with a radical CPA. Here is my conversation with Jody Paydar. All right, Jody, define a bot for me, because I think I talk to a lot of folks in this profession who either have no clue what it is or are really confused about what bots do and how they work and what they're designed to do. So what is a bot?
So let me start with what a bot isn't.
Okay.
So a bot isn't a robot sitting in the cube next to you.
Okay, good.
So a lot of people think that it's like a robot, but it's not a robot. All a bot is an algorithm or a line of computer code that makes something do a repetitive task. So we have used bots for years, just nobody called it bots. Mm-hmm. It was like a computer program or like a language, right? Like a line of code. And so I think that's the thing is everyone says, oh, they think there's something new, but they're really not.
So give me an example of a bot that might do some type of work related to our, you know, the accounting and finance profession. What? Give me an example of how one might work in the context of this profession.
So a bot is a repetitive transaction. So anything that we do that's repetitive, a bot can do. So if you think about, you know, categorizations, right? So if you're categorizing transactions, and every time something like gas comes up or mobile, right? Then a bot can know that mobile should be gas, and then that should go under auto and travel, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So it's anything that's repetitive, a bot can pick up and do. And a lot of times, like you can do these kinds of programming languages in Excel. Like you don't have to be in some sort of souped up language. It just needs to be a regular to something that's repetitive,
right,
that they're going to write a line of code that's going to do it and keep doing it.
And if the bot happens to be wrong on something that it's not familiar with and you correct it, it learns from that, correct? So that it may not be wrong next time. Am I correct in kind of saying that, or how does that work?
Yeah, so there's something called machine learning and artificial intelligence. And what that means is that the program is learning as it's seeing something. Mm-hmm. So if it doesn't know it, it doesn't know it, and it pulls an exception. And then the person looks at that exception and says, okay, I need to do this with this exception because I don't know where, because the computer didn't know where it was. Right. So you train it.
Right.
And then the bot, the next time it comes across that, it knows what to do with it.
Yeah.
So if you think about in the real world, when you see something and, or like a kid may not know something, but you tell the child what it is, then the next time the child sees it, the child knows what it is. So it's the exact same thing. You're just training the computer program to recognize something that it previously hasn't recognized.
So repetitive tasks. So that to me says, you know, if I'm somebody who has traditionally done that type of stuff forever, oh, I good. I don't have to do these anymore. I can do other stuff, right? Is that the idea behind the stuff?
Awesome. I think what you have to think about as an accountant, 80% of your job is rote, right? It's the same thing over and over again. So if that stuff is done by a bot now you only have to do the top 20%. So similar, think about it. If you were to pass something down to an intern, right? Like you let the intern do all the stuff that you don't want to do. Well, let the bot do all the stuff you don't want to do.
Right.
And then you're going to do the better stuff.
Right. And by better stuff, what are you talking about?
The higher analytical thinking stuff, the client service stuff. So what happens is in accounting, we've spent so much time just trying to get the numbers right that we don't have time to take a breath and actually look at them or interpret them or spend time with our client or even go home early, right? So now, because the bot has done that work, now you can do those other things and you have time to do them. And so that's the benefit of bots. And you shouldn't be scared of them. You should be like excited because like, just think if you were to have like 10 interns who actually learned.
Hold on.
No, because sometimes I say bots are smarter than my new hires, right?
Yeah, right.
So but think about that. If you have a new hire and after a year and a half, that new hire is now really somewhat proficient and you can give them stuff, that's the way bots get. It's a bots do it much quicker.
In your own experience in working with this profession, and how pervasive would you say they are currently? Like how many folks are actually taking advantage of the opportunities that this technology offers them?
I think we're using them more than we think. So similar to the way, you know, everyone says, oh, well, were you in the cloud? And then they say, oh, well, do you do online banking? Well, yeah, then you're in the cloud, right? So it's similar to that. There are bots places that you just don't realize it. But I think realistically now, the artificial intelligence and the machine learning is coming into the profession and people are interested in it and they're looking at it and they're exploring it. And I think that's different than any other technology in the past because it seems like they were a lot more reserved. And now it's like, I think CPAs are kind of afraid that if they don't check it out, maybe they'll get left behind or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it seems like there's a lot more demand. Now, how many are actually using it? Well, my whole firm is kept by bots now, right? And there's other firms who are starting to implement them. So it's moving along. It's just, you know, I think what's going to happen is it starts slow, but then it's going to flip really quick.
Well, yeah. And I think you made a good point because it seems like, you know, a few years ago when we first started talking about AI and these new technologies that are advancing kind of at an exponential pace, that the initial reaction that I got anyway from a lot of people was freaking out, fear. They were like, oh, so they're going to come and take my job and I won't have anything to do anymore, right? And now I think that's evolved into, like you said, curiosity, interest, where is this going and how can I take advantage of it now that it's here and we know that it's here to stay, it's not going anywhere. What do I need to do to take my firm to the next level and use this stuff in a way that's going to help me better serve my clients and customers?
Yeah, and I think the big thing is the reason it is so prevalent too is we can't find talent. So if you have no one to push work down to, what are you going to do with it? You're either going to not take on the work or you're going to work that much more. And so I think it's kind of a convergence of a lot of things that are making them so attractive to CPA firms. Because again, if you can't even find an intern to do that grunt work, well, now what am I going to do? Well, I can automate it and then, you know, the technology can do it and I don't have to worry about hiring that intern or that new hire or whatever. Because, yeah. I mean, talent is a real problem.
That's a really interesting point that I think a lot of people are just starting to come around to is that technology plays a role in our search for talent. Or, you know, I mean, we've been talking a lot lately at the MACPA, the BLI, about this notion of delegation, right? We're so busy and we're doing all this other stuff. And how can we stop doing some things so that we can focus on the higher level stuff? How do we delegate that to? And I think immediately we think of who can I delegate it to? And more frequently, the answer is, you know, not who, but what can I delegate it to? There's technologies out there that can do a lot of that stuff for you. and free up your time the same way it would be if you had somebody else to pass
and
it on
I think
to.
The biggest thing too that people don't understand is they think they have to learn AI like you learn Excel. You don't learn AI. It just works.
Right.
So like it's like, oh, I have to learn Uber. Well, you don't learn Uber. You use the app, you open it up and you press the button.
That's right.
That's the way AI works. It's not something you learn. The programmers, the engineers, they're going to learn how to make it work. As accountants, we just need to understand the output and what it does. And then how to, I'll say, learn the business process around it or the business use case. Mm-hmm. That's what we need to learn. We don't need to learn the technology. We don't need to learn the computer program. We don't need to learn any of that. We just need to learn the right circumstances on which to apply it.
Yep.
And then go ahead, apply it on the business case and then walk away, which is the nicest part right. about it. It's like you're not learning technology. It just works.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is different in the past, right? Because every other technology has been a tool and we have to learn the tool.
Oh, gosh,
we don't
yeah.
learn the tool. We learn the application of the tool.
Well, this, you know, it's kind of a poor man's example. This podcast, you know, we had a podcast 10 years ago. We started podcasting in like when podcasts first came around, and at the time, I did everything right. I not only sat down and interviewed somebody like we had a conversation like you and I are doing, but then when that was done, I had to take the audio file and go into a software program and edit it and chop this out and do that, and then I had to figure out okay, how do I upload this stuff to iTunes and get that now. We've got all these different services, podcast producers or whatever, and I can just talk to somebody like you, send them my audio file, and a week later, boom, I've got a podcast that's, you know, we're living in a different time, and it's a lot of the stuff I think that we were used to having to do ourselves, even just 5-10 years ago. It's a new world. It's really some interesting services that are popping up now. It's crazy stuff. Do you think, and I know, I mean, these things are moving faster than ever before. I think Tom Hood mentioned not too long ago this idea of AI. You and I have been talking about AI, and we've talked about Moore's Law as being like the gold standard for exponential change, right? Our computers get more powerful double in power every 18 to 24 months. AI is advancing, is doubling in capacity. I think the last number I saw was like every 3 months. Or so, the capacity of AI basically doubles. So that's exponential change, like on steroids. Is the profession itself moving fast enough at this point? Are we geared toward taking advantage of the opportunities that that type of exponential change offers us?
I think the problem with the profession today, or the problem that we face, is there's a lot of money coming into artificial intelligence. And so when you hear that the VC have put in $250 million and they're looking to disrupt the accounting industry or to modify the accounting industry, right? And so when you look at that, and then I think, okay, how many CPA firms have reinvested maybe $10,000 in their firm, right? And innovation takes money and it takes trial and error. And when you hear that, then you think, wow, because now they have the technology and the money to make the difference versus someone who maybe has a trade or like a skill set as an accountant, but he hasn't really invested money in the change piece of it or in the innovation part of it. And so that, to me, that's the piece that I don't think CPAs realize how fast it's going to change, because there's outside forces of money that are actually creating the change. We're not waiting for our peer to invent the AI or to change it with AI. It's tech companies like Google who are investing in it, or Amazon or stuff like that. And then you think, wow, well, what if Amazon was my competition, not, you know, Smith & Smith down the block? Because that's truly what the next level is. We're not competing against other CPAs. We're competing against tech companies.
Yep. That's crazy. What's your hope for this profession going forward? As you kind of take a look at everything that's happening now and the potential for what might happen in the short to near future going forward, what, you know, and this, I mean, this is your profession too. What do you
kind of hope for accounting and finance as time marches on?
So I hope that I believe that CPAs are the key to the data, right? And if you think about keys, right? You have an old school key of a car and you had to put the key in the car and you had to change it, right? You had to turn it and make it work. Then you have, like with my car keys, it's just a fob. And as long as I'm around the car, it opens the door and I can start my car.
Yep.
And now you can start a car with an app from your phone, right? Mm-hmm. So if CPAs are the key to the data, and we've always been the key to the data, how are we going to continue to be that app or that key via app mm-hmm. to the data? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we have to figure out. And I don't think we exactly know it yet. And we don't know what we don't know. But my hope is that as we engage with data, as we engage with the tech companies that create the data, or I shouldn't say collect the data mm-hmm. and utilize the data, that we remain relevant because we really understand how to work with the data. And I think some CPAs do, but too many of them don't, and too many of them haven't changed it. And I think the other thing that's concerning to me is I took a data analytics class at the university. So essentially, if you were a senior accounting major, you would have to take this data analytics class. And I took it. And what was really interesting to me as we worked on the case studies is the next gen gets the math, they get the data, they get the computer or the tool piece of it, mm-hmm. but they don't have the business acumen to understand mm-hmm. how it applies. Mm-hmm. And so how do we as a profession take that business acumen, learn enough about data so that it makes sense to us so that we can develop the next gen with the business acumen and the data skill sets so that we all remain relevant in the future? Because otherwise, what's going to happen is the data scientists will just take over. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, truly, because you have to be in the data to understand it. And so, I think that's really where we have to figure it out. And we have to be open to getting creative with the data and kind of looking at it as a new world, because it's not accounting the way we learned it. Mm-hmm. It's very different. I mean, and I think that's hard too, because we think about someone said, oh, well, you learn AI or whatever. Well, I'm like, you don't learn AI. It's not like Excel. And we think like in how do we sort in Excel and how do we do things in Excel? And when you talk to an engineer, they're like, it's two totally different frames of thought.
Right.
And so we try and make it think like we think, but it doesn't think like we think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that too freaky for you?
No, it did freak me out just a little bit, but I think I've got it. Is that kind of what, you know, Barry Melanson has been kind of famous recently for saying that, you know, we won't recognize the vast majority of CPA firms in the next 5 to 10 years. Is that kind of what you mean by the impact this kind of stuff is going to have?
Yeah. So I think part of it is the, like, what are we going to do? But I think the other piece of it is when you hear about like the cool AI tech that's happening and they're taking numbers off of contracts and they're creating financials and they're doing all this stuff. And you think like, wow, like what, if a financial statement doesn't look like a financial statement, and this, again, I'm trying like not to freak you out, but if you think about it, if financial statements don't look like financial statements, what are CPAs going to do, right? Like we have to figure out a different way to manipulate that data.
Our roles might end up changing. Yeah.
And find out how to make that data relevant and how to make comparisons. And a lot of accountants already do that with data. Mm-hmm. They just do it in Excel and it takes them very long because they're collecting all the data and it's, but now if you had the ability to like, you know, reach into that data pod and pull out the information you needed, how cool would that be?
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing now. Like, but we have to collect it and it's not tomorrow, but it's not so far off.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, you know, I mean, the one thing that in my mind anyway, is a bit reassuring is, you know, all this talk about the fourth industrial revolution and how quickly things are changing and, oh my God, what's the future going to be like for this profession? And to me, I mean, that phrase, fourth industrial revolution, all it means to me is that we've been through this three other times before. You know, I mean, things have changed radically in the workforce you know, well, this is the fourth time now, and we figured it out each time. There's been radical changes along the way, but we figured it out, and we'll figure this out too. I mean, the one thing that's different now is that it's, you know, we'll probably see the fifth industrial revolution a lot sooner than we did the fourth, just because things are moving much faster. But we'll adopt and adapt and find our place. And just like we've done before, you know, I think why we do things hasn't necessarily changed. What we do might change radically over the next few years. But why we do it and who we serve, I think those things are pretty solid. I don't know. That just seems to me to be kind of a reassuring thought as we talk about like stuff like this.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're just going to do things differently, but I don't think I mean, if you even think about my career, how things have been done differently over the last 25 years, I mean, when I first graduated, the internet, like we didn't have the internet, it had just started, right? Mm-hmm. You wouldn't even think about doing tax research on the internet. Now you wouldn't think about not doing it on the internet, right? So like, and somehow we all adopted or adapted. Yeah. So like, why do we think, but I think the difference is I think we just have to be open to it. And I don't know if it's the age or, because I always say it's not an age thing, but it's a mindset. But I don't know. I think it's more probably the place you are in your career, mm-hmm. that it's like, oh, okay, like I don't want to do this because, you know, I'm almost out or I'm right. like, and, right. and that's the problem because it's like the aging profession and they're thinking, oh, well, you know, like I'm going to retire soon. Like, why do I want to change now? But I don't know. To me, it's just exciting. I mean, like when you think about all the opportunity that's out there, you know, it's just cool.
It really is cool. I mean, it makes you glad you've lived this long. So I guess just to kind of wrap up here with some random thoughts for you. And you're as forward a thinking CPA as anybody that I know. I mean, you've been the radical CPA now for a number of years. I'm interested to know what has your attention, stuff that might be on the horizon that hasn't quite gotten here yet, but you're thinking, ooh, you know what? We really ought to be paying attention to this because this might have an impact later on down the road. Anything that you're seeing that you think is worth paying attention to at this point?
So I think the interesting thing that's happening is all the new ways to do things that are coming into our profession, right? So whether it's a Bitcoin accounting system or artificial intelligence and bots or contracts and artificial intelligence or AP and artificial intelligence. it seems like every place I look, something is changing and it's cool. And we haven't been like this for a while. So, I mean, like I've been radical, it's almost 13 years, right? Mm-hmm. And it seemed like for the last maybe 6 years or so, nothing really changed. Though a lot of people would have adopted the cloud, even though it took them a while.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The cloud really didn't change. They changed, right?
Right. Right. Yep.
But what I see now is all this stuff coming into our space where it's like so much candy in the candy shop. Like, oh, look at that. Look at this. And to me, that's what's exciting because that's what's going to push it to the next level. And if you look at fintech and the banking and how that's pushing it as well. So I think kind of all those forces are like, we need to be aware of that because again, if we think about how we use like Venmo and money and all those changes, how they're going to affect how we do our job. And that's what you really have to be like just aware of, right?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, accountants count money, right?
Right.
And if they're not using money through banks anymore. So how is that going to check? How is that going to change what we do?
It's going to be fun to watch. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
Jody, thanks. This has been a fun conversation and it's going to be fun to have this again, maybe a year or two down the road to see where we are. But thanks for sitting down with me. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you.
That was insanely good stuff there from Jody Paydar, the new Vice President of Strategy for BotKeeper. Learn more at botkeeper.com. And don't forget, this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set.
And we're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPAs. Start mastering these future-ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning-framework. And that's it, gang. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.